guys ready to talk to me for a while?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right, so, favorite thing about Christmas. And go, what's your favorite thing about Christmas?
Presents.
Yes, presents. Okay.
Getting to celebrate Jesus' birthday.
How do you celebrate Jesus' birthday?
Because the wise men give him gifts and about the star and the angel.
Uh-huh.
Because Jesus got born.
And he also came back to life.
He did also come back to life. Jesus coming to earth as a baby is Christmas, and Jesus rising again is Easter.
Easter. It is not Easter. I am getting the Easter.
We're talking about Christmas.
Style over.
What does God with us mean?
He means that he cares for us.
He cares for us?
He takes care of us.
Takes care of us. Are you giving her the answer?
No.
You think
giving us presents.
Giving you presents? That's God with us?
That not.
Well, in a way, it is. You know what the best Christmas present is? See if you can think
pulling
of the best.
Putting on your underpants.
Putting on the underpants.
Putting on the underpants, yes. On the count of three, everybody change chairs. One, two, three. Perfect. Okay, so tell me something else about the Christmas story that you know. Who was there when Jesus was born?
Mary!
Joseph!
And the wise men.
And the wise men!
And the fairies!
And the fairies.
The angels!
And the angels?
Jesus!
And Jesus was there. Who else was there?
The other God!
They actually talked about Jesus' underpants in the Bible. He says that Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes, which is
underpants.
Like baby underpants. All right. What do you think the best Christmas present is?
God.
That is
God.
God.
He's the best Christmas present? How is God the best Christmas present?
He saved us from sinning.
He saved us from sinning?
He saved us from worshiping the bad.
From worshiping the bad? When we think about God being with us, how is Christmas God being with us as a present? Who came to be with us on Christmas?
God.
Who in particular?
God.
Jesus. Right, Jesus is with us. And that means that not only is Jesus with us with Christmas, but Jesus is with us all the time in all kinds of stuff in our life.
Merry Christmas. You know, one of the things that I love about this time of year, I mean, there's a lot to love, but one of the things I especially savor is how this season kind of tends to bring together people that are separated, right? I mean, think about what we do. You know, we get disconnected. There's a space that comes between us, but we're willing to do anything, even sleep on someone's old pull-out couch, so much so that we want to be around each other. Think about what we overcome. We overcome geography. Many of you have probably traveled in from out of town, or you have plans to travel so that geographically separated people can come together. And then when we get together, we then overcome all the ways that we're different from one another. I mean, think about that. Sometimes we don't relate the best in the most natural ways to the people that we're related to. Does that make sense? I mean, you're going to find yourself in this mixed bag situation when you gather. You're going to have young people, old people, married people, single people. There's probably going to be the crazy uncle there, maybe a cat lady. I don't know. You're going to figure out how to make it work, and maybe even later tonight, you'll be at a table as a teenager relating to a grandparent, or you're an empty nester relating to someone with a young family. This time of year, we like to overcome these distances that put space in between us. But, you know, I think the most meaningful thing that we try to overcome this time of year are the conflicts or maybe some of the offenses that we have that have set up some relational space between us and between those that we love. I mean, this is the time of year where we just want to overlook wrongs. We want to declare a little bit of a ceasefire. And it's interesting because in many ancient old battlefronts during wartime, soldiers would fight year-round. But often at Christmas, everybody would take a quick time out. They'd have one breath of fresh air, a little bit of peace on Christmas Day, because Christmas, at least in theory, is supposed to be about goodwill. It's supposed to be about peace. Now, if you've been tracking along with us in this series, this Emmanuel, God with Us series, you know that we're looking at the implications of God being with us in the events of our life. Now, we get this title, Emmanuel, from the Old Testament, from Isaiah 7. There was a prophecy that predicted Jesus coming, that predicted a Messiah, a Savior coming, who would be born of a virgin. That would be one very distinct thing to look for. And if someone was born of a virgin, this person would be the Savior. Then we see this reemerge in the New Testament. Hundreds of years later, where Matthew reemerges this term, this Emmanuel. And this is what he says, and we heard it in our first scripture reading. All of this, and he's talking about all the things surrounding Mary's pregnancy, took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So the fancy word here is the incarnation, where God put on a bod, where God came as a baby. He came to be with us. Now, Jesus hasn't walked the earth for a while. So the question remains, why are we still celebrating the fact that Jesus came long ago, that God came as a baby? Well, Matthew gives the answer just a few verses earlier. This is what he says in verse 20. But as he, that's Joseph, as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So a son would be born that would save his people from their sins. At Christmas, we celebrate the one who saves us from our sins. What this means is, amen, what this means here is that Christmas joy isn't ultimately predicated on cliches like decking halls or sentimental feelings like being merry and bright. We celebrate, we sing joy to the world because a Savior came to deal with our sin. Now, when I think about Christmas, there's a lot of other things that come to mind. I think of pine trees. I think of candy canes. I think of Santa Claus. I think of shooting your eye out with a Red Ryder BB gun. I don't know if that comes to mind for anybody else. A lot of good things, right? Families, presents, parties. And these are all good gifts. But I think it's easy sometimes, not just at Christmas, but the rest of the year, to forget about the giver of these gifts, this God who sometimes goes by Emmanuel, God with us. So I think it's sometimes helpful just to pause. I mean, maybe during a service, maybe this time of year, but just to pause and to remember just how radical this Christmas story is. Because as it stood, there was a great gap, a great chasm where you've got us over here and God over there, and this separation existed. And when we think about just a few of God's attributes, this chasm becomes pretty clear. Think about it. God is all-knowing. God knows everything, perfect wisdom. We know in part, and then we forget what we know, right? God is all-powerful, never wears out, never gets tired. We have fatigue. I mean, I'm going to probably need a nap when I'm done here today. We're different from God. But the thing is, God is also holy. Holy means that he is literally set apart from sin. Perfect, spotless, unapproachable righteousness. And so what that means is we sinners, we have a bit of a problem, right? Our standard is godliness, but in the way we think, act, believe, behave, even in our nature, any sane person knows, well, I'm not God. And the thing is, flowing out of God's holiness is his justice. And justice essentially says that I can't call anything that's wrong anything other than wrong. And so God is going to deal with sin. And because he's all-knowing, he knows our faults and wrongs better than we do. Because he's all-powerful, he sets the rules. And this holiness and this justice has put this gap, this chasm, which leaves us helpless. That's the original setting of the Christmas story. And I don't know if we remember that sometimes in all of our nostalgia, that we are helpless on the other side of this gap, that there's a distance relationally between us and God. And that Christmas, you see Jesus starting to take the first concrete steps of God's rescue mission, that he would become one of us to save us. You know, a few years ago, I heard this incredible story about some Navy SEALs trying to free some hostages in this dark corner of the world. And so what they did is they entered in under the cover of night, and they made their way through the woods to a compound. They storm into this room where a bunch of hostages who had been held up in a cold, damp room for months were huddled in the corner. And as they step in there, they're pretty intimidating. They have their guns and their gear. And they yell to the hostages, "Okay, we're here. We got to move. We got to move. We got to go. We got to go." But they noticed that the people didn't budge. They were so terrified, not in the right frame of mind, that they didn't even look up. They thought perhaps these could be some of their oppressors, their captors, messing with them, manipulating them. And so the SEALs just stood there, scratching their heads, thinking, "Well, we're on a timetable here. We got to move. There's too many people to carry out. What are we going to do?" So one of the SEALs had a brilliant idea. He decided to take his helmet off and lay it down, take off his gun, set it on the ground, and he slowly approached that huddled mass of people in the corner of the room, and he knelt, and he got down. He stretched out his arms. He ended up laying down right by them, nestling within everybody, something that their captors, the prison guards, would never do. And then their eyes slowly started to meet his, and very gently he said, "Hey, I'm here with you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to save you. Will you follow us?" And so the story finishes that the hero stands up, gently helps people to their feet, and they go outside the building, through the courtyard. They make their way through the woods, and they end up safe on an aircraft carrier. Excuse me. So perhaps we need to start to think about Christmas a little bit like that. That there was this daring rescue mission where we're on one side of a chasm, God's on the other, and God would become one of us. He would sit with us in all that we go through to save us. Paul seems to think that way later in the New Testament. In Philippians, this is what he says about Jesus. "Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So Jesus overcomes this chasm between a holy God and sinful humanity. He leaves perfect eternity, fellowship with the Trinity. He condescends, comes, and lives among us. He experiences all the mundane and all the drama. Born as a baby, as a young man, he learns a skilled trade. He grows and he goes to weddings and enjoys good wine with friends. Sees loved ones die. And about 33 years after coming as a baby on a particularly good Friday, after living a perfect life, a life that we were supposed to live, he was wrongly accused, falsely tried, and then he was thoroughly punished for the sins of the world. He satisfied the wrath and the anger God had at sin. Then he rose from the dead, and he presents those who put faith in him as spotless before his Father in heaven, pouring out God's love. So at Christmas, we celebrate the one who saves us from our sins. So him being saved sets the stage, or him being born sets the stage for the cross, which sets the stage for our salvation. And my question to you this Christmas is, are you accepting the greatest gift of all? Complete peace, the great divide between you and God coming together in the person and the work of his Son, Jesus. I would encourage you to put your faith in him if you haven't, and if you have, celebrate that. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you just for Christmas, for this time of year where we get to come together. We get to come together and worship you. We get to come together and celebrate. We thank you for the traditions. We thank you for the presents and the gifts and reruns of the Christmas story and all the good things. But Lord, we pray that we might have you in our hearts. We thank you, Jesus, for this day. Amen.